Okay. We have
Has anybody listened to any of these online? I know I heard a couple people said they actually could hear you guys talk, but I don't know if it was just that particular one or that all. So when you do talk, make sure you're loud. It's Brother Perkins, as a matter of fact. He listened to the one where you told us to turn this off so your brothers and sisters didn't hear what we said. And he said he could hear everybody very good. So make sure you speak loud and clear, because those that listen to this online want to make sure they can hear what you're saying as far as your comments are concerned. Amen. All right, so let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 25 will be our subject matter for this morning. And we're going to get into Joshua today. But before we get into Joshua, we're going to talk a little bit more about the right choices that we can make in our marriage. Ephesians 5. And how was everybody's week this week? Everybody have a good week? Somebody have a bad week? How was the week? Amen. Dakota said he had a great week. Amen. Good week there, Dakota? Looking more like daddy every day. Spitting image. He's like, yes, so this is what a couple's class looks like, huh? This is what I got to look forward to in about 25 years. I don't know. I can handle that. Amen. Anybody else? Anything happened this week? You want to share something this week? Anything happened at your jobs, in your marriage, with your children, with your car, anything? Anybody? Yes, you guys were out of town. How was California? Where did you come here last week?
Oh, I came back
last week.
Yeah, it was nice. We're going to be losing Sammy in September.
Oh, no.
He's going to go back. We're going to leave him file with his mom. But please pray for him because it's not a good situation.
So why'd they get to you in the first place then?
It's really, we went to trial and it's really up to the judge, so
we just
think
we're going to just do it. You know, that was the heartbreaking thing that we felt with Faith. They told us until the actual decree is made and we have paperwork in our hand, that the child could go back to the parent at any time if the parent got their life right. And it's a double-edged sword. You pray that the parent will get their life right, but at the same time, you want the child to. So it's one of those things you say, Lord, may your will be done. And that's a hard one.
It's hard, but it's also a blessing. The other baby was born July 12th. He'll actually probably be coming on when Sammy leaves. So it'll kind of off balance it a little. So.
Now, will this just be foster care?
No, we're going to adopt this one.
This will be the keys. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's a blessing. Y'all pray for the Hamlins as well, because that's going to be tough losing one, but at the same time it's going to be good to get another. And we praise God for that. Amen. All right, anybody else have anything they want to share before we actually go into quoting our verses? And Mark, how was it being with your bride for the first time?
Very mixed feelings. I had a certain time, but it was good for both of us. It's good to have a break and a breather, and she got a chance to have some fun around the house.
Especially tough when she's pregnant. You know, that's tough.
You know, God gave me a peace that baby's not going to come. And even if baby would have come, it's in His hands. Like you said, His will be done.
But,
we had seen the doctor right before I headed out, and he said baby's going to probably be right on target.
Amen.
So we probably have another 2 years.
Praise God. Amen. Yes. Amen. Looking forward to it. Amen. All right, let's go to Ephesians 5, 22. Ladies, we'll let you say yours together, then men will say ours together. So, Ephesians 5, 22. Ladies, here we go.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Okay, now y'all can say it with a little bit more.
I was going to say
a little bit more conviction here. You know.
Wives, submit yourselves.
All right, a little bit more conviction here. All right, here we go. 5:22. Ephesians 5:22.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Amen. Reminds me of that one lady got married over in Belgium. Pastor Bennett was doing the ceremony, and it got to the part, will you obey him? And she was like, she couldn't get those words out. She was like, must be another word that I can say. It was hard for her to get it out. She couldn't say it out. I mean, she was military. She was breadwinner. And now I've got to submit to this guy. I've been single all this time. She's like, I don't know about this. right, guys, Ephesians 5:25. Here we go. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:25. Amen. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as we look at making choices that are wise. Lord, and understanding the choices that are before us and why the choices are the way they are. Lord, help us today to uncover a little bit more evidence as to why God has said what he said in regards to submission. And Lord, I pray that may be a blessing and encouragement to us, Lord. May your wisdom, Lord, just guide in our Sunday school hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So those are our verses there, Ephesians 5:22 and 25. Now, how did we get to this point? We're looking at life is made up of choices. And right now, on your sheet, we're looking at C and number four. Do you understand that making godly choices gives you power to build the marriage of your hopes and dreams? And so we're talking about Joshua there, you see in parentheses, consider Joshua. And so we're going to look at some things in Joshua's life and then run through those questions, and then next week hit page number six, okay? So that's where we're at right now, understanding that the godly choices give us power to build the marriage of our hopes and dreams. Now, before we get into the choices that Joshua made, though, we went back to Ephesians chapter 5 to see about this submitting one to another. That's a wise choice that we make. We need to submit one to another and in the fear of God. And then it says right after that, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. So God gives a warning first off. Both of you need to submit. Because husbands can be easy to say, well, you know, you're supposed to submit. You're supposed to obey me. You're supposed to blah, 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 blah. And she can go right back up to verse 21 and say, now, wait a minute, this is a dual voltage thing here. This goes both ways, and you're supposed to be submitting to me as well as I am to you. By the way, are there certain things in marriages that ladies can do better than men?
Yes.
What's one?
Raise children.
Raise children, amen. Sometimes that is true. Now, why is that true sometimes?
Because women tend to be more patient.
More patient? Why else?
Our role in life. God created us. That's our role in life, is to take care of our children.
Their role in life. That's her role, to be a nurturer, to be a carer, to stay at home. The Bible repeatedly says, keepers at home. Okay? Why else is that normally true? That they tend to be a little better in that fashion. Normally they're there with the kids all the time. Oftentimes they start when they're, in the womb. Then they come out, they've got to nurse them for a certain amount of time. Then they've got to feed them for it. So they spend a lot of time with them. So oftentimes they have a kinship or a kindred spirit with the child. Why else is that true?
So they look at things in more detail so they can see things a little more instead of just real simple. Sometimes it's going to be simple. Sometimes you have to be detailed so you can see things that are going to be seen, I guess.
Amen. Sometimes ladies are more sensitive so they can see the details of life. They can be a little bit more... what's the word I'm looking for? Introspective. They can look beyond what's there. Men are normally black and white. The child is wet or the child's not. The child soiled the diaper or they didn't. The child is hungry or they're not. They're sleepy or they're not. It's black and white. You're sleepy, go to sleep then. Ladies are like, well, maybe he's got a bellyache or maybe he's got that. He's bellyaching. Yeah, that's right. He needs to go to sleep. But he could be sick. He's sick. He's just tired. He's spoiled. Yeah, go to sleep. Ladies normally read more into it. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. And so that is true. What are some of the things that ladies are better at than men oftentimes? Child rearing, one, possibly, yes. So,
Cooking
oftentimes, amen. And sometimes that's true, sometimes it's not. Danny and Gabby hopefully be here today. Danny's a chef. He loves to cook. Gabby's like, look, I don't do the cooking thing. Mike Perkins, our old deacons, and Cindy, she did not cook. She said, I don't cook, I burn. Ms. Dawson, you want to say something?
Taking care of finances
could be one of those things. Men sometimes can be the budgeter. Sometimes it's the lady that's the budgeter. Sometimes it's the man that's frivolous in money. Sometimes it's the woman that's frivolous in money. Sometimes it's the man that's the window shopper, and the lady is not the window shopper. Sometimes the man spends big, the lady spends small. So that could be finances and keeping up the books. My wife is much better at math than I am. Amen. I don't buy a whole lot. When I buy something, normally it costs, but I don't like getting up money. I just don't like getting up money. Amen? What else? Yeah, Mark?
Interior decorating.
Interior decorating. Ladies normally have that thumb with saying this can go over here, this can go over here, these colors blend well with this. Men are normally black, white, brown, gray, and blue. And that's it. You know, you put those colors in the house and that's what you have. Yeah. You know my testimony, we got married, my wife like kind of let me decorate it. It was a drabby black, brown, blue, black blend. You know, and that's all we had. You know, black pictures, you know, with a black this and a black this and a white background, everything was kind of like. There was no color at all. But that's what I was used to. I was single, you know, I got married, and she said, okay, you go for it. And I was like, okay, I'll go for it. This is what I like. And then she started bringing the color. I'm like, oh, color. Brought some color into the bedroom on the blankets and something. Like, oh, color. Mm-hmm. But then I got, this looks pretty good. Amen, it looks pretty good. Amen. My wife, she'll match up this tie with this suit. I said, that doesn't go together. That's a different color green. The greens have to be identical to match. She's like, no, it's a blend. It's a shade. It goes, it doesn't match. That's just me. So sometimes better in interior decorating. What else are ladies normally better at than men?
Relationships in general.
They're normally the talkers. Want to go beyond the surface. That's not always the case. Sometimes it is. Sometimes the man is the talker, and the lady's not the talker. But oftentimes it is the lady who is the talker and the man is not the talker, and it's the lady who has to be with the baby all day long, and so when daddy gets home, she wants to talk, and what does he normally want to do? Because he's been talking all day at job, and so he doesn't want to talk. So he's like, look, I talked all day. That's what I did all day long. Phones, for instance. I was a 702, what are they now, three alphas? The secretary, basically, is what I did. I answered phones all day. When I got home, I wanted to shoot the phone. If it rang, I'm like, don't you ring at all. Take it off the hook. I don't want to hear another phone. So it all depends on what happened there. But sometimes ladies are better at that. What are some of the things that ladies are better at?
Sewing.
Sewing, amen. I'm not a sewer at all. You see some of the things that I hemmed up? Sipes your eyes. What are some things that guys are better at?
Providing,
working, amen. We don't have a problem going out to work oftentimes. The younger generation now, difficult to say. But the generation used to be the man gets up, the man goes out, the man brings home the finances. That's the way it has always been back in biblical times. The men maintained the financial income. That's what he did. And the lady normally took care of. So men normally technically have more stamina in the strength department when it comes to going out all day, being able to fight with society and coming home with the money. What else? The man normally good at?
Protecting,
being the dominant factor in the home against predators or things like that. Men normally the first ones to say no. You know, this is not gonna happen. Johnny says, can I have this? No. You know, they go to mommy, can I have this? Oh, yeah, okay, you can have this. And so men normally have that, no, you can't have that. Can I go here? No, you can't go there. What else are guys generally better at than ladies? Not all the time. What are some other things?
Logical thinking.
Okay, why is that true? Why are they normally a little better at logical thinking?
Because men more often see things in black and white than women do. And they often can see, they can see the right and the wrong, whereas women are more perceptive. They'll see the reasons why, but men will see the definite, okay, this is right, this is wrong, end of story, they put their foot down. Whereas women are more like, well, this they might have done this because of this, or because of this, or anyway. And not all couples, but some men are better at playing with children than women are because we're busy, we're working, but the men come home and they're more willing to play and just goof off because they've been living elsewhere.
And now it's time to goof off for us.
But it's usually after the point, you know, when the child is bigger, you know, and doesn't need the diaper change and doesn't have to be fed by her, you know.
Normally with diaper change, they're like, I'm finished playing with him. Here you go. We want to take that and change that. Okay, well, you're done changing that. Give that back to me. And they come back and go, oh, you're clean. You're not soaked. You don't smell. Okay, now we can play, man. How you doing, Charmaine? That's the only way it happens. We give them to him. Oh, he stinks. Here, honey, what do you do with that, you know? Okay, when you change that. I actually met a man. He said he never changed a diaper in his life. I said, you never changed a diaper? He said, I never changed a diaper. I thought, oh. You're kidding me. He said, I'd never change a diaper.
And my dad said 10 kids, and he would probably count on both hands how many times he's changed a diaper.
Really?
10 kids, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the women's work.
Yeah, I was kind of baffled at that when he told me. I thought, and you have kids and you never change your own kid's diaper? Now what happened if you had, you know, had Junior out at the supermarket and he's stinking up the car?
It doesn't happen. We can stay home with mom.
Amen. So when you look at that, you know, it says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There are certain things that, you know, one is better at than the other is better at. And so you need to submit to each other because, you know, you're supposed to compliment each other. You know, it can't be all my way and none of Carmen's way. Neither can it be all of Carmen's way and none of my way. We've got to balance each other out because what I bring to the table, she may not necessarily bring to the table, and vice versa. And so when God says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, he says, you know, there are things that both of you can bring to the couple that little Hakoda needs. He needs some daddy, you know, discipline or daddy fairness or whatever, but he needs some mommy emotional sensitivity and things of that nature. And so he needs both of those to develop properly. By the way, if you get too much of one, that can spoil the child in a bad way. I'm not saying spoil them, but ruin the child, because God intended for the child to get both mom and dad input in their upbringing and in their life, because that's the balance that God wanted it to be. Now granted, daddy's normally out most of the day, we understand that. But at the same time, God wants that man, when he does come home, to have that input into the child's life as well. So when you look at Ephesians, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. May I interject something here? If the original blueprint had not been altered, we would have stopped at verse 21. Would you agree with me? Submitting yourselves one to another. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, they were pretty much co-equal, if you would. They were both to reign together. Now, of course, we understand there's a headship. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then Christ is the head of the Father. We understand that. And then the man, we understand that. But if things were different and the blueprint had not been altered, that equality probably would have still been there. Go back to Genesis. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter, because he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then he says, wives submit, husbands love your wife. But Genesis chapter 3, let's look at the original blueprint. And chapter 3. And in chapter 3, of course, we know down there in verse number 20, in verse 20, Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not an helpmeet for him. That means a help that was right for him or suitable for him. Verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So God took a part out of man and then went over and made a woman and brought the woman to the man. So in other words, God took from the man to make for the man to bring back to the man. So he took away from him, but then he brought back to him that which he had made. And then he says down there, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. So in other words, she belongs to me because she's part of me, flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. My G2 told me the other day, he said, how come the ladies' names are longer than ours? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we're just man. She's woman. We're just male. She's female. I said, because they're more sensitive and complex than we are, son. You know, I said, so their name is longer than ours, amen, because God made them a little bit more intricate than he made us, amen. But I don't know why they're it's longer, but I said, it is an extension of us. And so male, female, man, woman, it's an extension of who we are because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, should cleave unto his wife, and they should be how many fleshes? One flesh. So he says, you know, Adam, I'm taking out from you. I'm going to make for you to bring back to you, and that which I took out is going to be a part of you again, but different. Isn't God good how he does that? See, I'm going to take something out of you. I'm going to make it where it's part of you, but I'm bringing it back, and I still want it to be one flesh. Welcome back, Devin. Yay! Long time. Amen. Good to have him back.
Congratulations to you.
And he says that's what he did. Chapter number 3 opens up, of course, with the temptation here. And notice verse 6. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. Of course, we know that story there. The eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Of course, God comes in on the scene, and the original blueprint now is going to be changed. What was the original blueprint? They were going to be both there. They were both going to be pretty much co-equal. But now God makes a definite change here. Notice what it says down there in verse number 9. Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, why did he call Adam? Yes.
Well,
that's true. There's another reason as well.
Is he the one that, because he, God had told him about the tree, and he's the one originally he told about.
That's true too, but there's another reason as well, in addition to that. Think about your own children. When you leave and you come back home, what do you go looking? Who do you look to?
Oldest.
Who? The oldest. You look to the oldest. Hey, G2 always gets, he said, Daddy, how come I always? I said, because you're the oldest. And I told you what to do. He came looking for Adam because Adam was the oldest. He was the firstborn. So by proxy, he comes looking for Adam. He says, Adam, now I made you first. And I gave you some instructions. So what happened? So Adam gets called first. He says, Adam said, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Notice he hadn't involved Eve at all yet. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked. I hid myself. He said absolutely zero about Eve. Until. Notice what he says down there. Verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, what did he say now? The woman. Now he wants to bring Eve into this. Before this, he didn't say, we were afraid, we hid ourselves, we were naked. He's just like, yeah, I'm a man, I'm firstborn. Yeah, I was afraid, I hid myself, I did this. He said, what'd you do? I ain't do a thing, it was her. Men, we've got to be very careful to put that blame on our wives when God comes asking us a question. Because it is all too easy to get a scapegoat. I'll ask G2, G2, what happened? Well, Joshua, how old is Joshua? 8. Faith, how old is Faith? 6. How old are you? 11. So let's do the math here. You outnumber them by how many years? Who did I leave in charge? But if they hadn't, I wouldn't have. Really? God is not taking any excuses here. And so the original blueprint here was that Adam was created first, and so that was not going to change. But they were co-equal up until this point. And he says down there, he did eat. And then verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And again, that word beguile, how many of y'all know that fragrance beguiling? It's a perfume fragrance that ladies wear called beguile. Is it old now? It was popular years ago. It was called beguile. It must not have been too popular because it went off the scene. It was a perfume called beguiling. And the word beguile means to lead astray or to deceive the mind of one, to lead someone astray, doing wrong when they think they're doing right. So in other words, she said, the serpent led me away doing wrong, but I honestly thought I was doing right. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gave it to my husband. I talked to men a while back, and I said, men, if you look at some of the major biblical men, Adam, Abraham, we talked about, who was it, David, Joseph and Jacob. Each one of those men had influential ladies in their lives that told them to do something that ultimately got them in trouble, but each lady thought she was doing right. Eve thought she was doing right. Jacob, Rebecca told Jacob to deceive Dad. She thought he was doing right because Esau was gonna get the birthright. She thought she was doing right. Who was that we talked about? Hey, Jacob, Esau, it was a couple others. Who was that? Abraham. She thought he was doing right by giving Hagar because she couldn't have kids. But then she came back, she said, my wrong be upon you, I messed up. But each time the man did that, he could have run that by God and said, God, what do you think? So Eve here did wrong, but she thought she was doing right. And most of these ladies that we talked about thought they were doing right. And so we can't discount what the lady says right off the bat. We've got to run it through God and say, God, what do you think? If Adam had to run that through God, what would have happened? The story would have been totally different. God, now, Eve said we ought to eat this, so what do you say? And God said, what did I already tell you? Okay, what am I going to do with her? I'll make you another one. I don't know what he was saying, amen. But each time that you looked at Abraham Adam and these guys that did something, they had these strong-figured ladies that meant well. They didn't, neither one of the ladies that we looked at meant wrong for their husbands. But it was wrong. But she didn't know it was wrong. So Eve here was begotten. She didn't know what she was doing that was wrong. And so verse 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every, of course we know what's happened to him. Verse 16, and unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Notice the change there. He said, you're going to have a tough time in conception. I'm going to multiply that sorrow. You're going to bring forth these children. It's not going to be a good time for you. And she said, and thy desire shall be to thine husband, and he shall rule over thee. That doesn't mean he's going to be like this. That means that she is going to be desirous to get the position of co-equality that she had to be where she was at, positionally speaking. But he was going to have to rule over her and be the one in charge. Y'all got that? So a lot of people say, well, you know, it says that he's going to rule over you. So men say, all right, see, you're supposed to be under my thumb, under my foot. I know what that's saying. Then her desire is going to be to get back the position that she lost in co-equality back in the Garden of Eden. But God is putting him there as a protection over you, to govern you, to guide you, to command you in such a way where it's going to be safer for you because you made a wrong decision. You thought you were doing right, but the serpent tricked you. He beguiled you, and you thought you were doing the right thing. And so I'm going to put him there because the Bible clearly says that the woman was deceived, but the man willfully ate, knowing what was right. Hold your finger there. Go back to First Timothy. And 1 Timothy, notice verse 12. In fact, verse 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. He says, let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, and usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now notice this, verse 13. For Adam was first what? Formed. So he had the priority. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived within the transgression. So he lets you know right there that Adam wasn't deceived. He didn't fall for it. He understood what he was doing, and he willfully did it. The lady thought she was doing right. And so he says, as a result over there in Genesis chapter 3, she was going to have a desire to be in his position, but he was going to have to rule over her. And she's going to have that sorrow there in the childbearing. Of course, he told the man he's going to have a hard life as well. So when you look at that passage in Ephesians chapter 5, it well could have come to a complete halt at verse 22, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, if all had been okay. But because of the fall, he had to say, wives, now I want you to submit to your husbands. Husbands, you need to love her and not be a lord over her in that respect, like a tyrant, okay? And so as we looked at that last week, the original blueprint was changed. Submission is both ways. Man submits to the wife. Wife submits to the husband. But when it comes down to decision making and the things that God is looking for, he says, all right, wife, I want you to submit to him. He's ultimately going to be in charge, and I'm going to come looking for him. But he is to love you the way he needs to love you in all aspects of it, like Christ loved the church. And so there was this change in the co-equality as far as leadership is, not in humanity. Okay, a lot of folks think, well, you know, she's a half, you know, less than a citizen. No, humanity is still the same. We're both man's and female. So the equality that way hadn't changed. But the leadership has changed. Okay, everybody follow me on that? So that is needful when we talk about these choices that we need to make in the marriage, because we're both submitting to each other. The wife is going to submit, and the husband is going to submit. But then ultimately, the wife submits to the husband. The husband loves the wife. Now, why is that important? Go back to to Joshua 24, and we'll pick up where we left off at. Devin and Charmaine, we're on this sheet here. And we are on page 5 and C4 at the bottom. And we've been looking at life is made up of choices. We're talking about choices in marriage. Looked at several biblical characters. Now we're down to Joshua, the good character, after we got all the bad characters out of the way. So y'all came at a good time because y'all bypassed all the bad characters. Now this is a good character. Amen. So what we're talking about here is Joshua. Okay, so go to Joshua chapter 24. So everybody understands how we got here, right? Okay, we got these choices. We've got the submission there. Then we've got the choice to submit to the man. We've got the choice to love the wife. Okay, and so now we come over to Joshua's life. Now Joshua, did he bring family rest to his family, or did he bring family ruin? Anybody know? Did he bring rest or ruin? All the other guys that we read, they brought ruin. What did Joshua bring? He brought rest. Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now, consider this. First of all, Joshua had a personal initiation. Notice what he says. It's a personal choice. He says, as for me. So in the household, who should that start with if we're looking at the household as its entirety? Who should that start with? The man. The man should make the choice. He should say, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the man. I'm going to serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me. Now, this starts with a personal desire from the man's perspective to serve God himself. Oftentimes, if you show me a man who's going to serve God for himself, his wife and children normally will follow. But if you show me a wife who says she's going to serve God without the husband's input, I'll show you a husband that's probably going to rebel oftentimes. There is no, I don't even want to think what would have happened if Carmen would have gotten saved first and started serving God without me. I think I probably would have rebelled just because I didn't want to be told what to do. That's just, that's typical for a man. We don't want to be told what to do. Well, honey, let's go to church. I ain't going to church. No, because it's your idea. I want it to be my idea. We're prideful, we're stubborn, that's just the way we are. And so now you give me a strong-willed woman on top of that, I'm going to rebel just that much more. Come on, that's just the way we are. We want to be in charge, we want to be head. But he had a personal initiation. He said, you know what, as for me. So Dad, it starts with you. But then not only did he have a personal initiation and a personal choice, it was a family initiation. He says, as for me and my house, in verse 15. He said, as for me and my house. Now, he said, you know, we're going to submit one to another. I'm not just going to do it myself, but I want you to come and join me in the personal choice that I made. I want it not to be a parental choice. I want it to be me and my house. So it goes from personal initiation to family initiation, from personal choice to parental choice. As for me and my house, this happens when all start to get on board with mom and dad, that's children as well. And then they have this family participation. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the family choice started with, we will serve the Lord. That's easier when everyone is on board and everyone knows what to do. By the way, what headaches are cut down when everybody says we're going to serve God? What headaches are cut down? If we know everybody's going to be in church, everybody's going to be in Sunday school, everybody's going to be Sunday morning, everybody's going to be Sunday, what headaches are cut out?
Concerns.
Concerns? What kind of concerns?
You know, whether they're okay, you know, spiritually, or physically, or, you know, all of the above.
Okay.
You know, you just kind of get really concerned and just bored and start praying. And then another thing that'd be cut down, you don't have couple people
doing
so much.
Amen. Well, a couple people doing so much, a lot of concerns. Is everybody going to be okay spiritually? Is it going to be okay with them? Are they going to be out there for the wolves to get? Sharon, you going to say something?
The fighting each service, when everybody's trying to go, like if he's trying to go, but the kids don't want to go, or I don't want to go, or it eliminates all that. The standard is we're all going to church.
Amen. Now, if mama stays home, and daddy goes to church, what do the kids want to do?
Stay home.
And if a daddy goes to church and mom stays home, did I just say that?
Yes.
The other way around, what are the kids going to want to do?
Stay home.
Each time they're going to want to stay home. Why? Because now I got to get dressed, got to brush my teeth, got to comb my hair, I got to go to church, got to act right, got to do all this. But at home, I got Nintendo, I can run around, I can do all these other things. You know, so they look at it, but if that's not even an equation for them, guess what? It's totally different. Yes, ma'am?
To expectations. If everybody knows what to expect, there won't be disappointments or arguing because mm-hmm. this is the way it's going to be. Everybody knows that. And they won't have a choice. They don't, if you know, if you already set the line, you don't argue with what we say,
mm-hmm.
they won't be able to say, well, I don't want to do this because they know the answer. it's just expectations. You know, everybody knows what to expect. If you have a history of going to church together or doing this or doing that, they know at this point we're going to do this, and they can't really say much about it.
Amen. And by the way, it cuts down the headache off mom and dad. Now, are the kids going to bellyache at some time? At some time, they are going to bellyache. Are they going to look at Johnny across the street and Billy, who they go to school with, and say, well, they don't go to church? At times, they are. But we can say, but as for me, at my house, you don't live with Jimmy and Billy and Bobby and Susie. You live right here. This is what we do because this is right to do by God. And you cut out some of those headaches. And so Joshua here, with the choices that he made, unlike Eli and Samson and Achan and some of the others that we looked at there, made some choices that really benefited him in the long run, because he could say, you know, as for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. Now, here's the key, though. If we're going to do it and we know we're going to do it, how can we get everybody on board? Of course, you know, we put the law down. We say it's going to happen. But how can we make it where the kids actually enjoy it? Carla?
I took it out of context before. I didn't know you were dealing with the home. I went way out. But you enjoy it. Being an example, you're excited about going, you know, and sharing with them when you get home how God really dealt with your heart and made some changes in your life, letting them see the whole purpose of it and what God does. Not just going to church, but it's like, wow, you know, the Lord really straightened me out today on this situation. Just letting them know that it's real, and this is what takes place when you do go.
Amen. So Ms. Dawson brings out a good point. Keep it real. Keep it real. Make serving God, the God who loves you, real. The God who created the sun is the God whom we're serving. The God that made the trees in our backyard is the God whom we're serving. The God that made the dirt in which we plant our flowers is the God whom we serve. That's the God whom we serve. So keep it real. I mean, if we want to get our families on board and say, look, as for me and my house, we're going to serve, this is what we're going to do. I made that decision long ago, as for me. And as you're in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to make it fun. I'll tell you how God worked in my life. This is what God did for me. And so that's one way. What's another way we can make serving God where it's enjoyable for the family?
Just making sure you're reminded to show your joy and your excitement how it, you really love to go to church and set that example, because I truly believe the majority of people who come here really do enjoy coming to church. So you need to be conscious at times of the rewards behind it and how much it, like, kind of along the lines of what you're saying, but make sure that, you know, there may be something else that's been dragging you down during the week that before you go to church, you may let it affect you. You still know you're going to be blessed, but they're too young to understand that. Right. So you need to make sure to be conscious at times. Even though we haven't had a child yet, I remember from my upbringing that you just need to show that joy all the way up until you get to church, and then that pattern starts, and the child will naturally want to go there themselves.
Amen. I mean, I like taking castor oil. How do you approach taking castor oil? And that's got the right face. Charmaine's like this. Whether it's castor oil or cod liver oil, they're both the same. I mean, it's disgusting. Does it work? Yes, it works. I mean, and they say cherry, it still tastes like castor oil. And, you know, it just got a cherry smell to it, but it still tastes the same. If our children see us coming to church like we're taking castor oil, guess what they're gonna wanna do? Just like Annette said, or like Charmaine said, I don't want to go to church. It stinks, you know. Look at you. Look at your face, you know. You don't want to take that medicine, so why are you going to put that medicine on me? So if we don't enjoy it, we don't have a good time, the kids are going to pick that up real quick. They're going to be like, well, you don't want to go, you know. I mean, if daddy gets in the car, he's like, we're going to church. You know, kids are going to like, boy, I think we're going to prison. You know, man, I don't want to go. So you got to keep it real. I'm going to just spit off several things here. We'll finish up with this next week. That we can do, making serving God fun. Keep it real. Ms. Dawson said that. We serve a risen Savior, and He loves us. Make it fun. I mean, it's great to fellowship together, and that they should know that it's great to fellowship together. Keep it special. Make it the highlight of the week. You know, we're going to church. I mean, this is something big. Not every, hey, you go to China, they cannot do this, what we're doing. You go to an Islamic country, they cannot do this. You know, and so we have a privilege, and so this is the highlight of the week. Man, we get to go to church on Sunday. I mean, we get to go to church on Sunday. This is a privilege, amen. We're just talking about giving last night, and my wife was impressing upon them the need to give to missions, and they were like, well, we don't want to give to missions. I said, wait a minute. I said, don't we say every Sunday, not grudgingly or of necessity, God loves a cheerful giver? I said, I can fix the whole problem. I said, you know how we can solve this? I said, I won't give you any money at all, so that way you don't have to give anything. Well, they didn't like that idea. I think that we can be a cheerful giver, right? Now. I said, now we just cut off your money, you don't have to worry about tithing. I said, because you don't have anything to tithe off of. You don't have anything to give missions out of. I said, so we just won't give you anything. I said, what we're doing is just giving back to a loving God who lovingly gave to us in the first place. I said, but if you don't want to give, I said, we just won't give you anything. They were like, well, you know, you can give us some money. I think we like this. This is good. Amen. So keep it special. Make it rewarding. I mean, go out from time to time after the services, treat them special. Make it memorable. Talk of some of the special times that you had in the house of God and things that happened. Make it a training and a teaching time. Take time to train and teach them. By the way, if you got little ones in the house of God, you know that you got to teach them somewhere. I mean, teaching them at home how to sit in the pew is fine, but that's not church. And when they come here, it's different. They see friends and they see this and their eyes are wandering. And so, you know, you got to spend time. If you teach them and train them now in church, guess what? It gets easier later on. And that's why I made the comment that I made on Wednesday night. When people come in here and their children are disrupted, don't give them the evil eye. Don't make them feel worse than they already feel. You know, say amen. I need to pray for them a little bit more. I need to encourage them a little bit more. I need to help them a little bit more because it's going to happen. And I'll share some more stuff with you next week. But those are some things that, you know, Joshua obviously kept before his family to get himself in the position where he had a personal initiation by a personal choice, then a family initiation by a parental choice, and then a family participation by having the family join in and say, we will serve the Lord, because I don't see anybody in Joshua's family bucking against that. And they did serve. We'll look at that next week. Here's a verse that I want us to meditate on for next week. And that's going to be verse 31. Joshua 24:31, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. We're going to talk about that a little bit more next week, because that's what you want from your children. You want your children to outserve you. After you're gone, you still want them to be serving God. And you want their children's children to be serving God until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And so that is the ultimate goal. But there's several things in that verse that I want us to look at next week, and we'll kind of look at that. Because the choice, again, is what's going to make us or break us in this whole thing. So Joshua 24 and verse 31. Oh, you know what? I take that back. That's not going to be next week, because we got Brother Bird next week. The week following that. I don't think we have anything. Yes, ma'am.
I thought it'd be good too, even with the kids. You know, it's not, you know, always a joy to go in the house of the Lord like you too. You know, he said, Mommy, I just, some days when he's just tired, he's like, I don't feel like going to the house of God, you know, today. And I think it's important for us to let them know that, you know, they're not going to always feel like going, you know, because the flesh sometimes rules.
Amen.
And so it's not always going to be a joy, but it's just right.
Amen.
And so I just tell him, I don't feel like going today either, you know. If I'm going to be honest with you, I don't feel like going. But this is what God says I should do, even when I don't feel like it. It's like, you know, with anything else, you just do right because it's right. It's not about how we're feeling. So
amen.
I think that helps with the balance, because it's really not always a joy. You know, it's a joy when you get here, but then, you know, this is where the devil fights the most. And so I think, keeping that before our kids, too, that helps bring a balance in their lives, you know, not always expected to be so joyful.
Amen. This also brings a good point as well. It's not always going to be a joy, and that's part of it, keeping it real. And when they say, I don't want to come, you ask them why. And then you keep it real. Okay, you know, I know you don't want to go, but, you know, this is good for you. Just like, this is what you don't like now. But I'll tell you, you think your mother likes good food every day? You think your mother likes washing your clothes every day? I said, but she does it. You know why? She does it because she loves you. I said, you know, we don't always feel like going to church. Guess what? We love God. And I said, and we show it through this. I said, it's not always going to be good. I said, sometimes you're going to be dog dead, be tired. I said, well, guess what? The joy is in the obedience to God. We talk about that with our kids on a regular basis. That's all part of keeping it real, because it's a reality. It is. Amen. All right, so Joshua 24:31. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week, about the choices that we're making in our marriages. Father, thank you once again for the time. We've been able to look into some things of background about submitting one to another and the fear of God, and Lord, how you have called an order in the home, and dads are supposed to be first, and then moms are second. Children then are to submit to that leadership. Lord, help us to keep it real in our homes when we are wanting to serve you in spirit and truth. Bless now the next hour, the refreshments that we have. Thank you that you brought Devin and Charmaine safely back to us, Lord. Minister in the word of God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed. Well done.